All right. It's been 8 weeks. It's been 8 weeks since we've been here. That's been too long. It's been entirely too long. But I'm thankful for this opportunity. Thankful for what God's done for us. And I'm hoping and praying that the message that the Lord's laid on our heart this morning will be something that'll help you. And that's just our hope and our prayer. If you can't hear me, somebody just give me this and I'll try to be a little louder. But I'll try my best to be loud enough everybody can hear me. Denise, when we talked about this and what they were wanting to do, she said, "Preacher, you loud enough. They ain't going to have no hard time hearing you." So, and I believe it. But anyway, if you have your Bibles and you want to go with us this morning, I'll try not to be too long. Famous last words. But we're going to mind the Lord this morning. If you have your Bible, go with us to Proverbs chapter 8, not 31. I'm sure that's where everybody would think you'd go on a Mother's Day for a Mother's Day message is the Proverbs 31. But I want to go to Proverbs chapter 8 because I believe that in the day and age that we're living in right now, what we need more than we need anything is we need God to give us wisdom. Because we are in a day and an age where people are allowing themselves to be led by their emotions. They're being led by the things that drive them emotionally, and they react without thinking more often than they stop and try to contemplate what they're doing. And I tell you that not to put down people, but to just emphasize the importance of how much we need God's wisdom in our walk and in our lives, especially today. You've got now, this day and age is where you have your decisions that you make are not only impacting you, but now they impact not only your household, not only do they impact your church, but they are impacting your entire community. One person's lapse in judgment could risk the health and well-being of people all around the community. I have had folks that have, and I'm telling you something, I'm not telling you this to try to gain any kind of sympathy, but I have had text messages, I have had emails, I have had voicemails that people have left me criticizing why we haven't been having church, why that we've been letting fear and lack of faith calls us to not hold services here. And I can tell you the honest to God's truth, I have been back and forth and back and forth more than a dozen or two dozen times about, Lord, are we really not holding enough faith to where we trust you to keep us protected? But then I, honest to goodness, the other day as I was praying, I told the Lord, I said, I feel like in all honesty today I could stand in your presence and with a clear conscience say I did everything I could to keep them safe. I did everything I could to make sure they were cared for and healthy. Yes, we didn't get to meet here like we wanted to, but sometimes, beloved, you've got to do what's best for people, even if people don't realize what's best for themselves. Now, I say that, and I'm saying that to say this, we need people that are willing to seek out God's wisdom. Bible says in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 1, we'll start there and read down to about verse 5. He says, "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O ye simple ones, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart." For verse 6, "Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things." Let's pray. Father, we ask you now to please give us the very wisdom that we're preaching on, we pray that it would be given to us this morning. Lord, that you would help protect everything that we're about to say, that you would set a guard of watch before the door of our lips, that he may seize that which ought not to come forth, and Lord, would only allow that to pass by that'll be honoring and glorifying to you. I pray you'd bless your people this morning. Give them something, Father, that's going to help them, something that's going to carry them through the week. And Lord, we thank you that you've carried us through up to this point, and we're going to need you to keep doing so, because, Lord, these days of uncertainty and days where people are in fear and they're in worry and stress and doubt, Lord, we can gladly lean upon thee because we know you're on the throne. We thank you again and ask you to bless the word that's about to come forth and all things that are done. We'll thank you, and we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, so you see here what we're talking about. He says, doth not wisdom cry? It's the first thing it says in verse 1. And wisdom, most of the time in the book of Proverbs, when you read about wisdom, you read about it personified in a female, in a feminine sense. Doth not wisdom cry? She, and all through the book, it does that. You read over in Proverbs in chapter 9, I believe it is, the very next chapter over, and he tells you, wisdom hath builded her house. And it talks about wisdom in the female sense. Now listen, it's talking about crying. Doth not wisdom cry? And I know this is Mother's Day, and I tell you, there's something that's probably kept a lot of us pig-headed, bull-headed boys out of a lot of trouble. And that was a wise mama who had the sense to get on her knees and cry out to God and to get a hold of heaven's door and ring the bells of glory for you and for me. I know that I could honestly say that I probably wouldn't be here and I probably wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now were it not for the fact that I had a praying mama and a praying daddy back home lifting me up and asking the Lord to take care of me and my foolishness, to keep me out of trouble and keep me safe from the things that I was so willfully putting myself into. But I want to say something. I want to say something to you today. There's something about a mother that's got enough wisdom to know how to get a hold of God. I tell you that because we as men, we tend to be a little more prideful. We tend to be a little more hard-hearted, a little more hard-headed. I may get some repercussions from this. That's okay. I'd rather suffer the wrath of a few men as I would some of you women. Amen. Okay, I got one amen. One other man in this. I expected women to amen me. I got one amen from a man in this whole crowd. But listen, I'm telling you, there's just something about a mama who had the ability and the wisdom to know how to get a hold of God. I mean, you talk about prayer warriors from days gone by. Prayer warriors from days gone by generally did not consist of men for the most part. It was women. It was ladies. It was mothers, grandmothers, widows that were able to spend time in prayer. And they were able to get a hold of God. I mean, if you needed a prayer, got up before the Lord and you needed an answer fairly quickly, you went and found an old lady that was in the church and you asked her to help you pray. And buddy, that woman knew how to get a hold of God, and she knew how to get a hold of the horns of the altar and not let go until she got an answer. And I'm going to tell you, that same wisdom is what we need. We need it now. We need it now more than ever. We don't need anybody running off half-cocked, and that's what a lot of what's going on now is. That's what's going on now. People are interested in getting what they think they want. We need some people with enough wisdom to get a hold of God and say, Lord, I ain't got enough sense to know what I need. Do you think this is what I need or not? It takes some wisdom. Listen, wisdom with a prayer warrior mama is what sicks the Holy Spirit on a prodigal child. Amen. A mama at home praying is what'll put goodness and mercy on the heels of that sheep that's gone astray. Amen. Wisdom and prayer is what will help the, keep the devil at bay, because a mama that prays knows how to resist the devil and do it not by her own power, but to do it by the power of the Lord and His Word. I'm going to tell you, there was a time, and I've never known this in my day. Some of y'all may, and if you do, I'd like to hear about it sometime. But I can remember some men telling me that there was a time when back in the 40s and the 30s when the church would be full of old women who had lost their husbands in the wars. World War II, and men that had lost, that died and gave their life for their country, and back home was left a bunch of mamas and a bunch of youngins that didn't have daddy at home no more. And that old woman didn't have no way of getting through that thing except to learn how to get a hold of God. That's the only way she was able to get through that thing. And those women turned into prayer warriors. And every time something come up in the church, they didn't go to the preacher. They went to the old ladies and they began to say, "Would you please pray for this?" And they started a chain. This one, get a hold of this one. And this one, get a hold of this one. And they'd start meeting together and they'd start praying about that thing. And boy, a lot of prayers that may not have got before the throne made it in the presence of the Lord, because some people, through wisdom and learning, got a hold of God and knew how to hold on and get an answer. We need that today. We need that wisdom. We need that something awful. A praying mama, wisdom crying out is what'll pray the path. Now listen, I'm saying this, and I put this one down just on a little bit of a selfish note, but wisdom will put the power of God on a desperate preacher who wants to do what God wants him to do. He's standing in your pulpits week after week after week trying to preach the Word of God, trying to give you what God's given him. And his power in prayer is not only dependent upon his praying and on his preparation, but it's dependent on yours. It's you praying. You lifting him up. I mean, especially, listen, you got to, I mean, other than the fact of Denise's youngins and mine and Brad and them's, there ain't nobody here that's younger than me. I'm the youngest man here. So if anybody here that needs some praying for, it's me. Because I need wisdom to know how I ought to be a preaching and what I ought to be a preaching and the decisions that need to be made and the things that come up that need. I want to listen to me, church. I want to tell you something. You can ask my wife. You can ask my family, the people I've been working with. There's been times when I have been an absolute bear and an absolute pill to have to deal with, because you not only have to balance what's going on in your work life and in your home life, but I'm sitting here going, "Lord, I've got a congregation of people that need to be fed, and I ain't got no way of feeding them because we can't meet at church. So where do I draw the line as to where is wisdom telling me you can start having church again, or you still need to stay at the house?" Say, what helped you with that? Prayer, man. It's all that got it through. That's all that got us through. It's all that's going to get us through. I still hate the fact that this is, listen, if we hadn't had church today, it'd have been 2 months. 2 months since Brother Jared Pilkington stood in this pulpit and preached on a Sunday morning and a Sunday night, and we called a revival off early because of how bad things were starting to get. 2 months since this house has felt the body warmth of the body of Christ gathered together inside of it. Now listen, it ain't been without a lot of prayer that decisions had to be made. But that's why I'm so adamant about this, is we need wisdom. We need God to give us His wisdom, not man's wisdom. Man's wisdom, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians that the wisdom of the world is made foolish when it comes to God. He said the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of a man. So we need God's wisdom. We don't need our wisdom. We need God's wisdom. Now he says, wisdom personified here. He's given it some deity. But I want you to look back in chapter 1 and verse 33 of Proverbs. chapter 1 and verse 33. And you see that true wisdom is connected with God. If you want wisdom, it's got to be connected with God. He says, chapter 1 and verse 33 of Proverbs, but whoso hearkeneth unto me, who's the me? Well, your first reaction is, well, that's the Lord talking. Whoso hearkeneth unto me. But if you look back and you look down at verse 20, it says, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city. She uttereth her words, saying. And in 22, down through the end of the chapter, it's wisdom talking. And in 33, it says, whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. True wisdom is connected with God, and it can't be connected with man. It's always going to be connected with God. This wisdom is given godly attributes, because in Isaiah, if you look there, and I'll flip over there very quickly, but in the book of Isaiah chapter 11, he gives you the attributes of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah chapter 11, and it's in verse 2. It may take me a minute to get there because my pages are blowing. We'll start in verse 1. Isaiah 11, verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Now you know who that is. That's Jesus Christ. He says, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. He gives attributes of wisdom, but they're all connected with Jesus Christ. They're connected with God. That's not the only place you find it. All throughout the book of Proverbs, wisdom personified as this woman. She's equated. Let's see. Come back to chapter 1 of Proverbs and look in verse 23. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. He's talking about the words of God. So wisdom is connected with God. All right, let's keep going. Wisdom is attributed. Now, okay, that's something I wanted to talk to you about. If you study Greek mythology or Greek philosophy or any of that junk, one of the things that they did is they saw how Solomon made wisdom into a female and gave it God, and gave it connection with God. But see, what they did is they started worshiping wisdom, and they made it a goddess, and they gave it a name, and it was called Sophia, the goddess of wisdom, and they began to worship wisdom. It ended up costing them very deeply, because if you study in Acts chapter 17 and you go over there, you find Paul, he's addressing the Jews over there, and he says, when I came here, he said, I saw a table over there with an inscription that said, to the unknown God. What happened? Well, they rejected the wisdom of God and started worshiping wisdom itself. And when they did that, When they did that, it led to unbelief. They defied wisdom, and it turned into superstition. Say, it's an unknown God. We don't know who he is. Paul said, him I declare unto you. Wisdom is something that we need so badly, but the problem is when we begin to get more obsessed with the knowledge, and we don't ask God to give us wisdom with the knowledge. That's three things in Proverbs he tells you. He says wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And he says when you get wisdom, you need to have, with the wisdom, you need to have some understanding as well. What's the difference? Knowledge is what you know. Wisdom is being able to use what you know in the right way. And understanding is knowing why you're doing that. That's what we've got to have. We don't need to go off of impulse. Because that's exactly what these people did. And when they did, they began to lose sight of who God was. And then whenever they started worshiping through superstition, now listen, when I'm telling you through superstition, you've got the same stuff going on now. How many of you has heard somebody say, well, if you don't say something nice about somebody, don't say nothing at all? We tell our youngins that, right? Katie ain't even talking bad about nobody, but I already try to tell her, hush, you don't need to talk like that. But that's what we say. Why do you tell them that? Say, well, I just don't want them talking bad about nobody. Yeah, but don't you sometimes in your own mind think, okay, I don't need to say anything about that because I might get it in the neck. That might come back on me. You see what I'm saying? How many of you go to the grocery store or the gas station and when they ring you up, if it rings up $6.66, you either put something back or go get something else? What is that? Superstition. Why does that number make anybody here afraid? If you're saved and you know the Lord and you're going home to heaven, that number ought to have no meaning to you at all other than the fact that it's going to show up in the tribulation period and it's going to be the number for the Antichrist. But it's not going to have nothing. It ain't got nothing to do with you. It can't touch you. It can't do nothing about it. But boy, you got Christians that'll go to the counter at the store and they'll ring up something, and there it is. And I've even had attendants at the cash register say, do you want to put something back? Would you like a pack of gum? I say, no, I'm fine. And then they look at me funny. It's a great witnessing opportunity. Because they look at me and they say, well, isn't that a bad number? And I say, not for me. Is it for you? Great witnessing opportunity. But you see, people who don't seek God's wisdom are starting, they'll get to a place where their worship will turn into superstitious worship. And they'll start making up reasons to be fearful of this or watchful of that. I mean, how many of y'all, and I'm not super familiar with it because I don't pay a whole lot of attention to the news and what's going on. I mean, let's be honest. You could sit down and watch the news and then not watch any news for about 2 months, and then you could pick it up and watch it again, and nothing will have changed. Right? Nothing much is going to have changed. But let me tell you, I don't know anything much about it other than the fact that they're talking about some microchip thing that they're wanting to put in people, and they're wanting that to be used for people to scan at the store and they can be identified and all this stuff. And man, the church people are blowing up about, that's the mark of the beast. Well, they're not putting no microchip in me. That's the mark of the beast. Well, if it is, then the Bible's a lie. Because we ain't supposed to be here when that thing shows up. So what are you worried about them microchip? They've been microchipping your four-legged furry friends for how many years they've been doing it. Your dog's got the mark of the beast. He's a four-footed one. I don't want to bust no bubbles, but there ain't going to be no Fidos in glory. Bible says, for without are dogs. All right, I want to give you three things and I'm going to quit. And each of these might take 15 to 20, so y'all just get comfy. No, I'm kidding. You see some different crying here. He said, doth not wisdom cry? But you look at what it says here, and the wind's blowed my pages all over here. Hang on. Verse 2, it says, she standeth in the top of high places in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. This is an outward cry. Wisdom, doth not wisdom cry? Yes, it's an outward cry. And she's crying out. Where is she crying? Well, it says in verse 2, she standeth in the top of high places. She's up on the mountains. She's crying out. But not only that, it says, verse 2, second part, by the way in the places of the paths. What is that? Crossroads. You know, there's a lot of crossroads in your life and in mine. A lot of places where you took steps into another chapter of your life. For most of us, it started off when you were in school and you started learning how to ride a bike. And you started off with training wheels, and man, there was just nothing like being able to get somewhere quick and not having to walk. So you pedal that bike. But then you start getting a little bit braver and you tell Daddy, say, hey, can I take these training wheels off? And yeah, you crashed and you got skin up and you got hurt. But after a while, you learned how to control that thing. Say, what's the point, preacher? As soon as you met that crossroads, you opened that new chapter. Mama's wisdom said, now don't you be riding that thing in the road. Don't you ride that thing down next to that highway. Because somebody might come through there and not see you and they'll hit you. Right? You move on up in the life and you get to the place where you're getting into high school. Now it's time to start thinking about your future. What are you going to do with your life? Where are you going to go with your life? And the whole time, you're contemplating, and you come to this crossroad and that crossroad. Well, maybe I'll do this for a living. Maybe I'll do that for a living. Maybe I'll do this for a living. Mama's wisdom says, well, whatever you're going to do, stick to it. I've heard so many parents here in the last little while that's told me, preacher, I just tell them, I don't care what they do, just stick to it. Said, because I'm tired of them switching. I've got a cousin. I love her with all my heart. But when she got out of high school, she went to college for 3 or 4 years and never accomplished anything. And she wound up trying this and she didn't like it. So she tried that, she didn't like it. Finally, her daddy said, honey, I'm tired of paying for these courses that you ain't finishing. Wisdom will stand at those crossroads and it'll cry out and it'll say, hey, remember, like I said, the little kid with the bicycle, stay away from the highway. Now they're in high school and they tell you, no matter what you do, stick to it. Seek God and make sure it's what He wants you to do and stick to it. And then later on in life, here you are. Whether you're a boy or a girl, it don't make a difference. But you're standing at the altar and you're fixing to exchange wedding rings and you're fixing to exchange vows. And before you do, if your mama, if she got any sense and your daddy and he got any sense, they'll sit you down and tell you, this is what the Bible says about what a marriage is supposed to be. This is what the Bible says about what you're supposed to do. They're standing at the crossroads and they're trying to be an outward cry of wisdom for you. Same thing whenever you get to retirement age. You're sitting there and you're trying to decide, do I want to quit working or don't I? I ain't got there, so I can't talk too much. Like I said, I'm the youngest fella here. Every one of y'all's going to hit retirement before me. Y'all all going to get ugly before I do. In some cases, you're already there. But listen, you need God's wisdom even then. How about this? God have mercy. But you're gonna need somebody with some wisdom to be there with you when you're standing by the bed of a loved one who's fixing to go off into eternity or who has gone off into eternity. Amen. And somebody's going to have to stand there and be that voice. And they're going to say, it's going to be all right. God's going to get you through this. How do I know? Because God got me through it. God got me through it. I've had to bury a spouse. I've had to bury a husband or a wife, a daddy or a mama or a brother or sister. And I know how that feels. And I just want you to know, God loves you and He's going to get you through it. What is that? Wisdom. Wisdom crying out. But not only is it an outward cry, but it's an inward cry. Whether you're coming, whether you're going, wisdom's crying out. But look in verse 5 or 4. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple, understand wisdom, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. He says, unto you. This is personal. It's getting individual now. It's not an outward cry anymore. Now it's an inward. It's the Holy Spirit of God dealing with you on a personal level. It ain't somebody talking to you. Now it's the Lord talking to you. And you need to know how to hear. And you need to know how to discern when it's Him. He's crying out and He's telling you, it's what you put in that's going to help you determine whether or not you're going to know if it's Him talking or not. All right, listen, I'm going to read you this Psalm. If you go to the Psalm 119, just flip to the biggest one and you'll find it. Psalm 119 and verse 130. 119, 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. And the Holy Spirit of God deals with you on a personal level. One that no one else is going to be able to reach you on. It's one that only He can reach you on. But whether or not you know it's Him dealing will depend on what you're putting in. A lot of people I've talked to said, I know it was the Lord telling me this. And everything they told me went completely 100% contrary to what the Bible says. Yeah, but I have literally had people tell me to my face, preacher, I know what the Bible says, but I know what I felt. I know what I heard. I know what I saw. But if it don't line up with that book, you know there's a counterfeit to the Holy Spirit. There's a counterfeit to Jesus Christ. And there's a counterfeit to what you think is God. Elijah standing up on the mountain after having been fed at the juniper tree. Now he's up on the mountain and he feels the earth shake and he sees the fire fall and he feels the wind blow and he says, this must be God. But throughout all of that, the Bible says, the Lord was not in the earthquake. The Lord was not in the fire. The Lord was not in the whirlwind. But it said, in a still small voice. When He speaks, it's a personal thing between you and Him. And you need wisdom if you're going to be able to discern if what you're hearing, seeing, or feeling is of God. Because the devil has a counterfeit. You young people that ain't got married yet, I'll talk to this end because that's the only place where there's young people that ain't married yet. All y'all married. Ish. No. But you young folks, y'all ain't got married yet. I'm going to tell you something. The Lord's got one for you. Devil does too. Matter of fact, devil may have a few. You better make sure when you start settling in with one that you ask God if it's the right one. Because you can get in with the wrong one. And I'll tell you, you think it's rough. Hey, I ain't going to go into my past, but I can tell you honest God's truth. It's harder to try to make it work with the wrong one than it is to let God work it with the right one. Amen. It's an inward cry, but not only that, and I'm quitting with this, it's a silent cry. Because He says, it's a silent cry, He says here in verse 6, hear, for I will speak of excellent things. And the opening of my lips shall be right things. It's a silent cry. He says, hear. You know what that means? It means it requires no input on your part. All it requires you to do is open your ears, open your heart, close your eyes, put your hand in His, and walk by faith. The just shall live by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. And that's what it takes. If you're going to have a walk of faith, it takes wisdom. God's wisdom. That's what I need today. That's what you need today. So that we know what we're, whether it's an outward cry because we're at a crossroads. Listen, this community was at a crossroads May the 5th when we got word that one of our own lost his life in the line of duty. I don't know that that has happened in many years, if ever, in this community where somebody lost their life in the line of duty. I know there's been many people that were either in the, they were working, they were on in service, out of service, retired, and they just passed away. I know that that's happened numerous times. But to have somebody lose their life in the line of duty, I don't know if that's ever happened before. I don't remember it. Somebody else might. I don't know. But I can tell you this. This community was at a crossroads May 5th. We came up to it again yesterday. I ain't never seen such a turnout for something. Trucks, fire trucks, lights, flags, everywhere. People in uniform, people in their suit clothes, people in work clothes, turning out to give honor to a fallen hero. Say, was he worth it? Every bit of it. I will say this, though, knowing the man the way that I did, I knowed him since I was that big. He'd have probably jumped up and whooped everybody there if he'd have found out they made such a big fuss over it. He's a pretty quiet fella. But I will tell you this. Everybody in this parking lot knowed him, loved him. And we all stepped to a crossroads yesterday when that flag got folded, when the taps got played, and the 21 guns sounded off. And a servant of the community was lowered into the ground. We all were at a crossroads. What's going to happen? We're all going to go home this afternoon. Sun's going to go down. You're going to put your head on the pillow. You're going to go to sleep. By God's grace, you're going to open your eyes up in the morning. And you're going to get up. You're going to go to work. But you're going to have to go in God's wisdom. God's wisdom, you know, you ought to thank God for it. Why? Because that's the wisdom that says, I don't understand why what happened happened, but I know where he is. That's God's wisdom. And sometimes it's not always an outward cry. Sometimes it ain't always even an inward cry. Sometimes it's just a silent cry. It's just telling you, you don't need to say anything. You just need to listen. And you need to trust His promises. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I ain't talked a whole lot about what happened. I ain't talked a whole lot about it at all. And then so, you know, yesterday I talked with everybody. Jeff, Jeremy, I talked with everybody. We talked about what they talked a little bit about what they were feeling and things like that, and we just kind of shared some burden together. I said, I almost wonder, because somebody had asked me, they said, you know, I wonder what was going through his head when the slack come on that rope. And they said, I almost wonder what was going through his head. I said, you know what? I don't know that anything was. Because I honestly think as soon as that thing went slack, the Lord went, whoop! No, that can fall. You ain't falling. You just come on home. What is that? Well, that's just a little bit of what comfort that I got from it. We need God's wisdom if we're going to get past these crossroads. If we're going to get over the tops of these mountains, listen, you're going to go over the tops of those mountains and you're going to hit another valley. For every mountaintop, there's two valleys to walk through. And every once in a while when you go through the valley, the Bible says in the 23rd Psalm, you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And when you come out on the other side, there's no guarantee everybody that was in the party before is going to be there after. What are you going to need? You're going to need God's wisdom. You're going to need God's wisdom if you're going to get through it. We need God's wisdom today. Whether it's an outward cry by some saint, an inward cry from the Holy Spirit of God, or it's just a silent cry from you and I listening. What if he doesn't answer me? You just stay there until he does. He'll answer you eventually. He says you can come boldly before the throne of grace where you can find help in the time of need. All kinds of wisdom to be had if we'll just slow down long enough to deny our own impulses and our own natural desire to react. And we'll just say, Lord, what would you have me to do? What would you have us to do? Say, is it that simple? That simple. But in the heat of the moment, sometimes it's hard to put the brakes on. But God gives you the ability to do it and the reward if you're able to. And He'll bless you. Father, thank you so much. I feel like there's nothing else I need to say. I probably said more than what I ought to. But I thank you for this opportunity. Lord, it's been so good to be back in church. I pray for every single person here. I ask you to bless them this week. Give them wisdom. Lord, I pray that something that was said will help them. Lord, I don't claim to be some great orator. I just do the best I can. I hope it was a blessing. And I hope you'll bless these women, these mamas. Lord, they may not be a mama by physical birth to anybody, but somebody looks at them and sees a mother figure. And as wisdom cries out, Lord, it doesn't matter if you've got children or not. We all need somebody to be that voice of wisdom in our heart and in our life. Please watch over and keep us. Bless us as we go. And whatever's done, I sure hope it gets honor and glory to you and to you alone. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.